We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
It's time to think summer as we head into a Memorial Day weekend and look ahead to brighter things. We look back to a great memory in BGSU basketball on this edition of the Ziggy Cast.
This is the BGSU Ziggy Cast from Learfield, your home for Falcons updates, interviews, previews, and highlights. Now, here is your host, Todd Walker.
Great to have you back with us for another edition of the Ziggy Cast as we head into the Memorial Day weekend. It has been a tough time for everybody in this pandemic shutdown. This past week in particular has been a very tough one at BGSU with the cuts throughout the university and the athletic department. Of course, the elimination of the baseball program. It has been a rough week indeed, and we all feel that pain. And we hope for better days ahead, that things are looking better with the pandemic situation. Things are beginning to reopen. We hope for a full and normal football season. And we just hope to get things back to where we had them before. Unfortunately, some scars are going to be left, no doubt about it. On that note, we continue with the theme that we've had on the Ziggy Cast since the shutdown began, as we sort of flash back to past glory. And this time we are going to look back to February 16th, 2000 at Anderson Arena, Bowling Green hosting Kent State, and Anthony Stacy would pass Howard Butch Comives as BGSU's all-time leading scorer. And BG, of course, won the game. And this was a very good time for Mid-American Conference basketball. You may recall at that time, Sports Illustrated did a feature story on the conference, and their man Alexander Wolf was at Anderson Arena that night and did a story about that game. It was one of three games featured in the February 28th, 2000 edition of SI. By the way, Vince Carter was on the cover. I'll read you a few lines from that story now, as Wolf said, quote, "Bowling Green's Anderson Arena is a gussied-up name for an honest gym that has scarcely changed since the early 1960s, the heyday of Nate Thurmond and Howard Comives. The same Comives whose career school scoring record will likely fall tonight to star forward Anthony Stacey. We continue with Wolf's writing. Quote, Stacey is just the kind of oddly shaped, maddeningly effective talent you'll find in the MAC. A 6'4" senior swingman with a Barkley-esque body and a buff outside shot. When he breaks the record early in the second half, Kent is still nursing a narrow lead, but after a pause to allow Stacey to accept Comives' congratulations, the Falcons take flight on a backdraft of crowd noise. Stacey, the MAC Player of the Year, if Stone Rook isn't, scores 24 points, shooting 11 for 16 in a 71-61 victory. And that's how it was written up for Sports Illustrated's feature on the MAC, the February 20th, 2000 edition. And that this game that you are about to hear was front and center in that feature. What do we have for you? Well, before we listen back to the game, I have an interview I just did with Anthony Stacey, of course, who is now an assistant coach for BGSU basketball. And we'll go back to that time and get his thoughts. And then we'll have the full broadcast, of course, with the commercials and other things edited out. But basically the full broadcast as was heard on the Falcons Network with our good friend Dave Horger on the call, along with former Falcon Bill Fain. So that is all coming up as we look back to February 16th, 2000. We'll begin by talking with BG's all-time leading scorer, Anthony Stacey. Obviously, that year you guys end up, you know, winning the Mid-American Conference and all that, and I'm sure that there was some talk about you might have a shot to break the record going into the season, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. How much did you think about it, if at all, during that season?
You know, to start the season, obviously wasn't really thinking too much about it. But obviously as the year went on, there was a lot more talk about it, a lot more that time articles written about it. Obviously there was no social media then, but as it got closer, it started to generate more buzz and even got a little bit bigger because Esther Camp was close to getting 1,000 points too. And it kind of, there was some talk about it could line up at the same time, and we were pretty good that year as well. So as the season went on, obviously there was a lot more talk about it.
So as we go into that night with that game, that was also a time when the MAC was really very well thought of, and there was Sports Illustrated there, I guess, to do a feature about the conference and some of the things that were going on in the league at that time. You guys were playing Kent State. So as I listened back to the broadcast, they talked about how electric it was. Can you reflect on the feeling in the arena that night?
Yeah, it was very similar to what we experienced this year against Buffalo. You know, I've been often asked, you know, which atmosphere was better, and I'm not really sure which one. I just know they were both really electric and just special to be a part of. But that night, I do remember coming to the arena, and there were students lined up at that time around the library trying to get in because it was first come, you know, first seating when you got in there. So the students were running there and fill those bleacher seats. But I remember them standing around the library, and it just had a different type of feel because we were playing Kent State. I think we either both in first or right there, you know, fighting for first place in the league. And I didn't know until now about the Sports Illustrated doing an article on the MAC, but it was just, the night was just, there was so much passion and there was so much, it was just, you know, those nights, sometimes they just have juice. And that was one of those nights that just, there was so much juice in the building.
Well, I know that night Howard Comives was there as you eclipsed his scoring mark. I wonder how much, if any, interaction you had had with him prior to that night.
Yeah, so a lot of people don't know. Obviously, Shane Comives and I are best friends, and I was supposed to be in Shane's wedding. Couldn't do it because I was playing in Europe and got home late, but I was able to go to his wedding in Buffalo. So I had known Shane very well, and was Butch was always very nice to me and very kind to me. And so he called me a couple days or maybe the day before that game. And he said that he was coming to the game and he was really proud of me and that he would be honored if he could be there, and I could break the record while he was there. So I just thought it was really, really nice and kind of him to be that gracious towards me. And then he left when he was on the phone. He said something to me that made me more nervous for any basketball game that I've ever been a part of. He goes, "I want you to break this record, but just know you better do it tonight because I ain't coming back." And so I got a little bit nervous. Can't remember if I needed 12 or 13 points or something like that to break the record. But it was so kind, like I said, and so gracious for him to be there and to support me. And he ended up coming, and I gave him a hug during the game, and it was really nice.
And speaking of that, you did get the record, and it didn't come right down to the wire, but it didn't come right away either. And it was also, as you mentioned, a huge game. You guys end up winning the game. Can you recall any of the nervousness going away once you started playing? Did it sort of fade, or did it hang over you a little bit?
I was always, somewhat anxious or slightly nervous before every game, just to never let those guys in the locker room down. Those guys depended on me quite a bit at that time during my career at BG, and I was always a little bit nervous. But that day I was just so nervous because Butch said he was coming to the game and said he wasn't coming back. And then once the game got started, I kind of wanted just to get the record over with, because I wanted it to be more about us than just myself. And it was during the middle of the season, and that was a big game for us. So I wanted to, one, make sure we won, and then if I could break it, it'd be kind of neat to do it when we won. But it got to the point in the game, everybody was, chanting how many points you needed after you scored every basket. So I was just kind of just hoping I could get it over with sooner than later. And I think I did get it over with right in the beginning of the second half, I think.
Well, it's funny how things come full circle in life. Here you are now as an assistant coach at BGSU, and you are instrumental in recruiting Justin Turner to the program, and it would appear that he is in the same spot you were as it pertained to Butch Komives' record, and now you're coaching him. So as you look to this season, as you think about how you're going to counsel him, and probably already have to some degree about what to expect, what would you say about shepherding him through this?
I just kind of tell him how my experience was, and how he should approach it. And if anybody knows Juice, he approaches every day kind of the same, and he's very humble and mellow guy, and so I don't think he would get caught up in it. But just try to tell him he's got to go out there and play his game, and for him it's going to happen. If he stays healthy and we have a season, obviously with everything going on, which we probably will, it's going to happen for him. And I wouldn't be more proud or couldn't be happier for just an outstanding kid from a great family that I was able to recruit to break the record. Would really, really be cool. I think as gracious as Butch was to me, I think I kind of owe it to him to be the same way. And that's just me in general. And, because if you look back at it, Todd, and you know this, and a lot of people don't, but, if Juice goes on to break the record, which I think he will, it'd be an honor to be a part of that. But all in all, Butch couldn't play as a freshman. So I'm not really sure. I tell people all the time, there should be two records, if you ask me, because he couldn't play as a freshman, and he averaged 36 points or whatever. So I think it'll be really, really neat. I can't wait to be a part of it. Hopefully it can come in an electric night. Or how awesome would it be if it was something like the Buffalo game or something of that magnitude? Would just be electric and just would be unbelievable for him and our university and our great community.
Let's flip it to the other side, and maybe you aren't as versed in this as you are from the Juice side, but what about from the rest of the team side? They also have a bit of an adjustment as this sort of anticipation builds during a season. What have you learned from your teammates over the years or going through that process, that how they dealt with it?
Yeah, we never really discussed it, obviously going back 20 years. It was never really something anybody talked about. And I think the reason why it was that way, I think everybody kind of knew what I stood for and what we stood for as a group was just about winning. And you know, Justin is that same type of guy. I mean, he'd rather score 4 points in a win than 25 points in a loss. And, you know, I was kind of the same way. And you know, there's a lot of similarities between the two of us as far as that. But we never really discussed it. And I think our guys are – he's so likable that our guys would be so happy to be a part of that. I think they're looking forward to it.
Well, certainly when you look back on that season, it's come into focus here recently because you guys had a reunion and you guys were honored at one of the games this past season with the 20th anniversary. And clearly this program is wanting to get back to the NCAA tournament, but you got to win the conference tournament. And I think sometimes these MAC championships that you won as part of the regular season don't get enough recognition. So when you look back on that, that's certainly a great accomplishment from 2000.
Yeah, you know, it's winning the MAC, you know, regular season champ is much harder than the tournament because the tournament you only have to win 3 games or 4 games depending on, you know, what your seed is. But for us to win that championship and to be the best team in the league for the entire season was really, really special. Like I said, we had a lot of great moments that year. And that night that I broke the record, it was really special because Dave Esterkamp also scored his 1,000th point. And we beat Kent State in front of a sold-out crowd. And just a lot of good moments. You know, the tournament didn't end like we wanted to, but really proud of just being a part of that team and being able to represent BG to win that conference championship. And it was really special and just happy to be a part of it.
And a very pleasant good evening, everybody, and welcome to Anderson Arena on the campus of Bowling Green State University. Tonight, the Falcons look to pull themselves to within half a game of the Eastern Division lead in the Mid-American Conference as they host the top team in the East, the Golden Flashes of Kent State. And in the process, BG's all-time individual scoring mark set some 36 years ago could fall. Bowling Green enters tonight's contest with an overall mark of 18-6, 10-4 in the Mid-American Conference. And that's good for second place. Kent enters tonight's game with an overall mark of 20-4, 12-3 in conference play. And, of course, that's good for first place. And Anthony Stacy enters tonight's contest with 1,822 points. He needs only 13 more to break Howard Comide's record set during the 1963-64 basketball campaign. And Butch is here to see the 6'4 senior from Elyria do it tonight. And not only is Butch here, there are a lot of people here. I'm Dave Horger. I'm here. Bill Fain is also here tonight. And Bill, it's been quite some time since there has been this much electricity. I know we've had great crowds. We've had sellout crowds here this season. But even more so tonight from a standpoint of a very important basketball game, it appears a record will fall. And I can't think of a better place to be anywhere in the country if you're going to go to a college basketball game than to be here at Anderson Arena tonight.
Boy, you aren't kidding about that. I'm just trying to figure out how I can take 10 years off my life and get back out there. This game is just going to be exciting. If you're not excited about something like this, you better go check your pulse because you're not beating. Your heart's not beating. And I think you're right. The crowd in here, they got here early, and they've been pumping already. Corners are getting filled up. And the electricity in here is just unbelievable.
You know, something Dan Dockage talked about on our show at Frickers on Monday night was the fact that the students come out early, and when the guys come out to shoot around at about 6 o'clock, 6:30 or so, there are students there. And I mean, the guys, that gets them going early on. Often in past years, they'd come out, there'd just be a handful of folks, no reason to get excited. So, I mean, this crowd actually has an effect on these guys about an hour before this game begins.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, the thing about that, Dave, is I've been in that locker room, and I can tell you, when this crowd gets here early and they start getting rowdy,
yeah,
you can hear it in the locker room, and you want to get out here and hear them explode when you hit that door. So, and I know Stacy came out early, and, man, they were going crazy, and he had his arm pumping, and he's ready.
And to add to the festivities, Sports Illustrated is doing a story on the Mid-American Conference. It just so happens tonight is their night to be in BG.
USU!
Falcons took the court, and there are students. The students came early. They're lined up all the way across the opposite side of the floor. And when the Falcons came out, they circled the floor, and the students gave them high fives and the whole deal. So we're set to go. Probable starters in this contest tonight. First for Kent State, the point guard is Andrew Mitchell. He's a junior at 5'11 from Detroit, Michigan, averaging 8.8 points per ball game. The off guard will be Demetric Shaw. He's a sophomore at 6'3 from Fort Worth, Texas, averaging 8.3 points a game. And as an off guard, a superb rebounder at almost 5 per ball game. The forwards will be Eric Thomas and Kyram Massey. Thomas is a 6'4 junior from Springfield North High School, averaging 6.1 points per ball game. He hurt BG with his 3-point shooting in the first game. Massey is a junior at 6'5 from Columbus, Ohio. He went to Eastmore High. He's averaging 10.8 points a ball game and almost 5 rebounds a game. And then the big kid inside, the 6'8 senior from Columbus Whetstone, John Wharton, averaging 12.3 points a game and almost 6 rebounds a ball game. Bowling Green State University will start. In fact, the fans are standing, so we have to stand to see just who will be in the starting lineup. Trent Jackson gets a start. And what do they got? Well, it will be Trent Jackson. Brandon Pardon being introduced right now, so we'll go right on down the line. Pardon, the 6'1 sophomore from Middle Point, Ohio, averaging 5.7 points a game and 6 assists a game. Here's Trent Jackson. He's got a new look. It's an Anthony Stacy look. He shaved his noggin. Trent is averaging 9.3 points a ball game. He's the 6'4 junior from Rochester, New York, the Ohio State transfer. Here's Lenny McKella, the sophomore center at 6'9 from Merrillville, Indiana, averaging 13.2 points a game and 7.9 rebounds a game. Senior David Esterkamp starts at one of their forwards. Camp at 12.8 points a game, needs 8 for 1,000. He's out of Cincinnati LaSalle at 6'7. Here comes Anthony Stacy. Stacy, 6'4 senior from Elyria, averaging 16.1 points a ball game and 6.1 rebounds. John Wharton will jump for Kent. Lenny Metella for Bowling Green State University.
Well, I tell you, Dave, this is a game that every player dreams of. One versus two, and have it all out right here on the floor.
Now, if BG wins, they will be even with Kent in the loss column, but still half a game behind because Kent has won one more game. They played one more game. Tip controlled easily by BG down to the bold-headed Trent Jackson. Going to take it to the baseline right. Runs it up off the window. No. The rebound by Perry. Kent State. Jackson saw the opening on the baseline right, could not get the shot to fall. With it is Shaw, back up top. Now he takes it to Andrew Mitchell, the junior at 5'11". Pardon guards him. Now it goes to the right wing to Thomas. Right side now to Shaw. He's guarded by Jackson. Boy, does he look different without any hair on his head. Off to the left it goes to Thomas. Got to look twice. Thomas tries to drive and can't. Up top now to Mitchell. Long three. Got it. Mitchell, it's a home run ball. Get this thing started. And it's a 3-0 Kent State advantage. Here's a ball knocked out of bounds. Kent State applying pressure. It'll be BG basketball. One of the keys for Kent State, obviously, to try to get out ahead early, keep this crowd out of this game, Bill.
Yeah, they need to. We need to get it in Pardon's hands like we just did and bring it down the court.
It'll be 4-court. It comes behind the back on the dribble. He's going to drive down the lane, going to take it all the way, going to run it up, and going to drop it in. He was a bit off balance, just kind of flipped that thing up there. Nobody picked him up. It's a 3-2, 1-point Kent State lead. Now here's Thomas on the left wing, guarded by Esterkamp. Up top it comes now to Shaw, now to Mitchell, now to the corner to Perry. BG, of course, in a man-to-man. All the way across the court it comes to Shaw. Underneath Wharton, good backside help from Stacy, but Wharton turns, lays it in anyhow. And it's a 5-2, 3-point Kent State advantage. Here's Pardon into the forecourt. Traveling called on Pardon. Took a jump step there as he brought the ball across the timeline. The officials tonight, Sam Licklider, Tim Fogarty, and Steve Skiles. All right, 18:35 to go in this first half. Dave Forger, Bill Fain with you from Anderson. 5-2 Kent. Here's Shaw left wing with it, guarded by Jackson. Shaw going to twist and try to drive to the baseline. Now he will take it. Going to stop, going to shoot. The left-hander buries that one. Kent State is hot. They lead it 7-2. Here's Pardon into the forecourt. They try to double-team him and can't. Has it between the circles. Off to the right it goes to Lenny Metella. Up top now to Pardon. Harden with BG's only 2 points of the game. Now gets it to Stacey. Going to drive the baseline. Is double teamed. Up top now to Harden. He'll launch a triple. And it's going to be short. In fact, it is an air ball. Missed everything. Harden tried to get to it and couldn't. And so it's Kent State basketball.
That's a good idea, though, for Harden to do that, because they're leaving that open shot. And if he starts taking it, they stop helping on the double team down low. And then we got work inside. He needs to keep taking that.
Here is Shaw into the forecourt with it. They get back, make it Mitchell into the forecourt. To Shaw in the corner, launches a triple. Won't go this time. The rebound, though, by Wharton. The ball stripped away by David Esterkamp, and is knocked out of bounds by Wharton. Wharton got the offensive rebound on the opposite side, tried to go back up with it, but Esterkamp snuck in behind, knocked it off of him, so it's BG ball. And to watch that Wharton and those Kent State guys who hit the offensive boards.
I was going to say, that's two offensive boards already this early in the game. That guy's concerning.
Harden, Esterkamp, Stacey fakes the three, drives, double pumps a shot up, and it won't go, but he's fouled on the play by Perry. That's that patented head and shoulder pump fake that we've seen Stacey do so many times. He got Perry up, and when the contact was made, he flipped it up toward the ring. He'll go to the line to shoot two. Stacey's a 79.7% foul shooter. Again, he needs 13 to set the mark, 12 to tie it. And we do believe Butch Comives is here somewhere, although we haven't found him yet. Stacey's first foul shot is perfect. It's a 7-3, four-point Kent State lead. 17:31 to go, first half. Second shot coming for Stace. Perfect. And it's 7-4. He needs 11. The ball to the right wing is Mitchell, the junior from Detroit, Michigan. Up top it goes, out of bounds and bounces by the student section. And the official says, Demetric Shaw touched it last. It's BG basketball. All right, so Esterkamp to put it in play. 17:22 to go, first half. At a charged Anderson Arena. Hadn't been this way since Michigan State was here. That was about 10 years ago. Here's Stacey, left side. It's it now to Esterkamp. He backs his way to the hoop on the baseline left. Now gets it back up top to Harden. Tries to penetrate. Great behind-the-back dribble. Runs up the shot down low. No, the carry's Lenny McCullough. But lay it back up and in. Great move by Harden. McCullough hit the offensive boards, and the Kent State lead now is only one at 7-6. Now here's Thomas going to try to drive the baseline on Esterkamp and can't do it. Now to Perry. Now to Mitchell. Mitchell, the superb point guard. Boy, their guard play at Kent was really good. Now it goes to Thomas, Eric Thomas, 6'4 junior from Springfield North. Now to Perry, launches a three, straightaway short, and the rebound knocked away. And Stacey went for it, couldn't get it. Taken by Thomas. He'll take it all the way in for a one-handed tomahawk jammer. What a play by Thomas after Stacey nearly stole it. And it's 9-6, Kent. Boy, Thomas saw that path to the hoop, and he took it in with authority. Here's Stacey, foul line, jumper, bingo. Stacey, perfect. From 15, he has four in this game. It's a 9-8 contest now.
That's a beautiful move there, coming off that pick, and moving right up on it.
He needs nine. Up top with the ball is Mitchell, going to penetrate. 9-8, Kent State. Up top, now to Thomas. Thomas back to Mitchell on the left side. He's going to try to penetrate. Now gets it off on the right wing. They eventually get it down low to the baseline right to Massey, or rather to Wharton. He lays it up and in for two. And it's 11-8. So Kent's had their way offensively. Esterkamp going to go coast to coast. Going to drop it up, but it bounces out. Hit the back of the ring. Outlet pass is a bad pass, but it's saved by Kent. Into the forecourt they come. 11-8. The time Esterkamp literally went coast to coast with it. Nobody picked him up, but his the timing was a bit off on the steps, and he couldn't get the layup to fall. All right, here is Mitchell on a baseline drive. We've got a pushing foul coming up on Brandon Harden. 15:16 left in the first half, 11-8, Kent. Bill Fain, give Kent credit. Here they are in this very hostile environment, and they haven't been bothered by it so far.
No, their intensity level is really high right now. I mean, they're diving for every loose ball. They're going after every rebound, their help side. You know, it's very impressive, but our guys are okay. They're just, you know, some of them are a little nervous, but they're going to shake it off.
Kent State basketball underneath their own hoop. Into the game for them now is Nate Mears. He's a pretty good three-point shooter. Also, Rashawn Warren's come into the game. Mears wants to take the three. Esterkamp won't let him. Now they work it over to Trevor Huffman out of Perry. Baseline right. His fallaway jumper is good. How about that? That's Mike Perry, his first 2 points of the game. It's a 13-8. 5-point Kent State lead. That would be the biggest of this game. Here's Brandon Pardon up top, bobbles the ball, now picks it up, gets it off to Lenny Metella. Lenny back up top, now to Pardon. Now to the left side it goes to Stacy. Stacy behind the arc, holds the ball above his head, now to Esther Camp at the top of the key. To the right wing, now to Trent Jackson. Into the lane he goes, going to take it all the way, going to run it up and in. Made a nice move from right to left into the paint. Kind of finger rolled that thing in from straight away, his first two, and it's a 13-10 three-point Kent State lead.
That was a great cut and slice move by Trent.
Here's Mears, off now to Mitchell, his long three, rattles out of there, the rebound though, put back up and missed by Warren, and an easy stick backer, couldn't get it to go, the rebound now by Stacy BG. And the four, Cordy comes, has it up top, he has four in this game. Now it goes to Brandon Pardon. Underneath, beautiful pass to Esther Camp. On a reverse layup, good move without the ball by Esther Camp. He has two. He's 6 points away from 3,000. BG's 1 point away from Kent State at 13-12. Long three, right corner. Won't go for Mears. It's an air ball. The shot was so bad it came down to Perry, though, for Kent State, so the Golden Flash will still have it. BG students letting Mears have it now in that air ball call. Here's Warren. Out now to Trevor Huffman, guarded by Jackson. Underneath to Warren. Left wing to Perry. His short jumper got it again. Hey, good soft touch by Perry.
It's got to be worrying the coach a little bit. They've got five offensive rebounds already. And when you're playing defense hard and you have to go and do it all over again, that kind of takes it out of you.
Stacy right wing with it. 15-12 Kent. Stacy baseline drive. Now picks up the dribble. Bounces it back out to Brandon Pardon. Right back to Stacy. Going to go to work. Follow away jumper. Stacy. Perfect. Two for two from the floor. Two of two at the foul line. 6 points for Stace. Kent State lead is 15-14. But here's Mitchell with it up top, right wing, now to Trevor Huffman. Seven more for Stacy. He's got the mark. Here's Mitchell, left side. Now back to the top of the key to Huffman, right side to Perry. Underneath now to Mears. Good cut without the ball, but he can't get the shot away. Now to Perry. Now to Huffman between the circles. Now to Mears, right side, guarded by Esther King. 12 on the shot clock. Kent State with the ball. Kent State by one. Here's Huffman, going to go to work, drives down the right side of the lane, runs it off the window for two. Trevor Huffman on an isolation play. And it's 17-14. Kent doesn't want to give up this lead. Now here's Brandon Pardon into the forecourt. Now to Stacy up top with it. Stacy guarded by Perry. Now gets it off to Brandon Pardon. Pardon out of Stacy. Left wing. Going to launch one. That's going to be a two. Won't go. Bounces long. The rebound by Huffman. Kent State. Off now to the right wing to Mitchell. Mitchell now to Mears. Fakes a three. Wanted to shoot it, can't do it. Into the corner and out of Perry, launches one from inside of the arc. No, the rebound by Esther Camp. It's knocked away, but it's taken by Jackson. Off to Stacy. He's going to take it all away, and he's going to spin it up and in for two. Stacy on one of those jump stop maneuvers. He has eight, and it's 17-16.
That was just beautiful. Absolutely beautiful.
Kent State by one. Stacy is nearing that record. Here's Warren underneath. Turn, shoots off the glass. Went around Metella to bank it in. Rashawn Warren. So Kent State matching BG basket for basket. They still lead by three. Here's a pass underneath to Esther Camp. As BG tried to run a fast break on the inbounds play, the shot is knocked away, but Camp is knocked to the floor. He'll shoot two.
That was a great seal on Camp's side. He reverse sealed him to where we could get that lob over, and Morton came in to help out and got a foul on him.
All right. Let's see if it's on. I think they called it on Mears. There are a couple of guys in there taking pokes at him. So Mears gets a foul, the 6'3 senior from Stowe. Esther Camp's first foul shot is good. Camp with three, and it's 19-17, Kent State. Trent Clayson coming in for BG. Lenny Metella going to get a breather. Three players coming out for Kent. They had this kind of thing going there, too. They used a lot of fellas on a pretty consistent basis. They'd play 10 by the break at Kent. So they have Mears and Huffman and Shaw's back in there, too. Esther Camp hits a second foul shot. And we have ourselves a Taco Bell timeout. 11:37 left in the first half here at Anderson. It's Kent State 19, BG 18. You're listening to the Bowling Green State University Basketball Network.
Hey, John Madden here. Whether you're painting the house trim green or just trimming the evergreen, visit the folks in the Red Vest, the helpful hardware folks at Ace. Because no matter what your outdoor projects are, your local Ace Hardware dealer has all the tips and supplies you need to do them right, including everything from Ace lawn and garden supplies to Ace quality paints.
Ace features Royal Touch semi-gloss latex wall and trim paint, only $18.99 a gallon. That's at the Main Street Ace Hardware Store in downtown BG.
Guaranteed prices, metered service, and no annual fees. You get it all with Prism Propane. Prism Propane is a different kind of propane company, offering quality service and fair pricing. Prism Propane guarantees your price for a year or more. With metered service, you only pay for the propane you use. And Prism Propane never charges an annual service fee. Why not make the switch to Prism Propane now before your tank gets filled again? Call 422-7747. That's 422-7747.
All right, 11 minutes and 37 seconds are left in the first half here at Anderson Arena, 19-18. Kent State, Kent's never trailed. They scored the first 3 points. They hit a home run ball to get it going. They would lead by as many as five, and now the lead is cut to one.
We need, Dave, what I'd like to see us do is I'd like to see us get their big man pushed out a little bit farther than 3 feet from the basket. It's hard to defend a guy when he gets the ball 3 feet from the basket.
Huffman into the forecourt for Kent. Keith McLeod in the game now. Keith is the 6'2 sophomore from Kent McKinley, averaging 13.3 points a game. Right here is Mears. Long three for Mears. Barely draws iron, but there's another offensive rebound as Demetri Shaw went and got it. And he still has it for Kent State. Now gets it off to Mears down the lane. Short jumper. Bounces long again. The rebound tipped and tipped. Knocked out up top, and Huffman has it for Kent. They are dominating the offensive boards. What's that, seven already?
Mm-hmm.
Wow, seven offensive rebounds. Mears, another three left wing. You can't give these guys three shots, for goodness sake. Mears makes it 22-18. Now here's McLeod right wing. Now to Stacy up top. Stacy still with it. Hands it off now to Brandon Pardon. Yeah, that time up the floor, Kent had three looks. Here's McLeod. Baseline drive, his pass, a bad one. It is saved beautifully by Brandon Pardon, who before he went over and back called a timeout. So instead of going out of bounds, he called a timeout so it would not be over and back. BG basketball, the timeout is called. 10:34 to go. 22-18, Kent State. You're listening to the Bowling Green State University Basketball Network. All right, 10 minutes and 34 seconds are left in this first half. 22-18 Kent. BG has Graham Bunn in the game now. Brandon Pardon gets a breather. Bunn, the 6'1 sophomore from Raleigh, North Carolina. Brent Clayson's in. He's a 6'9 sophomore from Kimball, Nebraska. Kind of a package deal with those guys, you know, in that prep school. And McLeod's in there. Now to Stacy up top. Stacy going to drive down the right side of the lane. Going to stop, going to shoot, going to knock it in. Anthony Stacy, red hot. He's got 10. He's three away, 22-20. The Kent State lead is two.
I'm excited. I can tell you right now.
All right. Let's hope he hits a shot that puts the good guys ahead in this game. That might be just what the doctor would order. Here's Huffman up top. Stacy picks him up on a switch. Now it goes to the right wing to Perry. All right. Or make that Mears, rather. Now across the floor to Shaw. Now here's a drive on the baseline. Left shot blocked by Jackson. Thomas tried to take it. Trent Jackson knocked it away from him. But Kent still has it. Now to Shaw up top. The left-hander gets it off to Mears, coming off the pick. Underneath it goes now to Thomas. Bad follow-away shot. Blocked and stolen by Stacy. That was about a 15-footer on a follow-away baseline left. And Stacy went up, blocked it, and took it. Here's McLeod left wing. McLeod spinning the dribble up top. Now gets it off to Graham Bunn way up top. Now back to McLeod left side. Baseline drive. McLeod back now to Clayson. He drops it. Picks it up. Now to Bunn. BG down by two. It's off now to Jackson right wing. Baseline drive. Pushes off. Ball away jumper. Jackson no short. Not a good shot selection. Mears on the rebound for Kent. Outlet pass is a bad one. But Huffman is able to poke it back to Mears. Yeah, Trent Jackson, that's not a good shot selection on his part. All right. Here's Kent into the forecourt. They lead it by two. 8:57 left. Here's a pass to Shaw. Shaw traveled. Didn't get it on the floor in time. Jackson going to come out of the ball game. David Esterkamp will come in for him. Well, I take it back. Trent stays in. It's Bunn that comes out. Esterkamp comes in for him. I just kind of assumed that Danny D was not happy with Trent's shot selection, but maybe he's not so unhappy with it. Okay, BG down by two. They could tie it or take their first lead here with 8:54 left in the first half. All right, into the forecourt. comes McLeod. Stacy could break the record on it with the three. Here's a shot that won't go for McLeod, but there to guide it into the hoop is Brent Clayson. I think that was a shot. Turned out to be a beautiful long pass as Clayson went up and jammed it through, and we're tied at 22.
Plays like that will make this house roar. There's no doubt about it. Chip dunk is awesome play.
Here's the ball knocked away, stolen by McLeod. Going to be a one-on-two. Takes it all the way. Finger rolls it up. No, but a foul is called. He'll shoot a pair. So McLeod is coming off the bench to spark this ball club on that steal. He's got a chance to tie it. The guy down there taking the photos, I think he's a guy from Sports Illustrated, Bill. So if he comes up this way,
I'll smile.
Let's give him our best sign. All right, so McLeod goes to the charity stripe. He'll be shooting two shots. He could put BG ahead for the first time in this game at the 8:24 mark. And his first foul shot is no good. McLeod is a 73.5% foul shooter. Here's Perry back in. And Shaw leaves for Kent State. 8:24 left in the half. It's a 22-22 tie.
Yeah, Key's got to get up on his toes. He shot that one flat.
He comes up short every once in a while. Second shot rattles out of there. And the rebound taken by Perry of Kent State. To the right wing it goes. That's to Eric Thomas. Now to Perry up top. Now to Mitchell. Mitchell still with it on the left wing. Now dribbles to the top of the key. Gets around the pick. Now gets it off to Trevor Huffman. Jackson guards him. Huffman dribbles off the pick. Stacy comes up to guard him. Now Jackson's back on him. On the right wing. Across the floor it goes now to Eric Thomas. Thomas now gets it off to Mitchell. Five on the shot clock. Mitchell penetrates. Nearly walks. Fall away jumper. Won't go. The rebound by Clayson. BG. Now to Jackson. Into the forecourt he comes on the dribble. He drives down the left side of the lane, runs up the shot, no, but it's a charge on Jackson. Again, Trent a little bit out of control, maybe not the best of decisions on his part, and so it's a BG turnover. And we've got a timeout here, and it's going to be a full timeout. We'll take another one. As we check that Subway scoreboard, we have 7 minutes and 41 seconds left in the half. 22-22, we're tied. You're listening to the Bowling Green State University Basketball Network. All right, well, the ball is Thomas for Kent State. Now back to Huffman up top, 22-22 tie. Huffman guarded by Stacy this time. On the dribble, to the baseline, right he goes. Fakes the shot, is clobbered by Stacy. So that time, Trevor Huffman from Petoskey, Michigan, pulled a Stacy on Stacy, got him up. Stacy had no choice but to come down on him. So to the line to shoot two, Trevor Huffman. He is the nephew of Shoes Huffman. You may remember him from that 1979 Michigan State basketball team with the Magic Man. They were national champions. His first foul shot is short. Good foul shooter, over 85%. And he'll try again here.
I'll tell you one thing, you notice we've been making our mini run here has been based off the fact that they're not getting off of the rebounds now. We're starting to box out. Hopefully, they have, I'm pretty sure Coach told them that whatever you do, I want to start seeing you get some bodies on bodies and get those ball rebounds.
Patella in, Stacy will come out. Huffman's second foul shot also no good. And the rebound fought for, kicked out of bounds. And the officials say it's going to be Kent State basketball. Clayson battling on the boards, but couldn't hang on to it. Brett's come in, really hustled in the first half. Bill, you're right on. 7 offensive rebounds. They have more offensive rebounds than defensive rebounds, Kent State. All right, but the ball is Mitchell. Guarded by Pardon, obviously Brandon back in the game. 22-22, still tied at the 7:13 mark of the first half. But here's Perry, going to spin it underneath, and we're going to have a foul coming up on Metella. He was trying to get in there and battle with Jeffrey Vaughn, who's just come into the game, a senior at 6'6", from Cleveland, Ohio, averaging 3.2 points a game. First foul on Lenny, fourth team foul on BG. Okay, Vaughn has it in the corner and out of Mitchell. Mitchell gets it off to Huffman. He is guarded by Esterkamp. Still tied at 22 as we hit the 7-minute mark. Here's Perry, right wing. Up top, not a Huffman with it. All right, Huffman going to go to work. He's double-teamed. Now gets it off underneath to Vaughn. He's got a charging foul coming. Good play that time again by Clayson. He had good position. Vaughn caught it, turned. And boy, the instant he hit Clayson, Brent went down like he'd really been nailed. And the official bought it, and it's BG basketball.
And we all bought it.
Yeah, I thought it was a great call. All right, into the forecourt comes Brandon Pardon. Kent State will apply pressure. I'm Dave Forger. That other voice you hear, Bill Fain, former outstanding player here at BG. Right, Pardon picks up the dribble. Now to Clayson, right back to Pardon. He goes to work down the lane, hands it off to Esterkamp. Long three for Camp. It's not close. And the rebound by Mitchell of Kent State. Into the forecourt, he comes off to the right side. He takes it to Huffman. Now to Vaughn, baseline right, now to Perry. Now it goes to Mitchell, going to penetrate, going to launch one, going to knock it in. Nice drive that time by Mitchell. Shot it from about 7 feet away. Kent has recaptured the lead here at 24-22, and here is McLeod double-teamed right across the timeline. Thought he broke by the double team on the left wing, but the official was right there, said he stepped out of bounds, so it's Kent State ball.
I'm pretty sure Coach D probably has one thing to say, is get it to Pardon. Let him bring the ball down.
24-22, Kent. BG's never led in this game. Again, Stacy on the bench, 3 points shy of the all-time scoring mark. Here's Huffman. Huffman has it. Gets it off into the right corner and out of Mitchell. Mitchell penetrates in the baseline. Good move. Runs it up. No in a crowd. The rebound by Clayson. He's been fouled in there. The ball was knocked away after Clayson came down with it. And the official blew the whistle and said one of those flashes reached in there and slapped him. That foul is on Mitchell, his second, and the team's fifth.
I'll tell you what, since Clayson's been there, he's given him some quality minutes. Since he's been in there, we're starting to get our defensive boards, and he's getting charges, and he's just doing that little things that's going to help you win the game.
Well, Clayson did a similar thing in Oxford in the first half on Saturday. Pardon's double-teamed in the backcourt, and he's in trouble there, but he gets it off now to McLeod. Into the forecourt he comes, drives down the left side of the lane. He's been fouled by Vaughn. Good quick move by McLeod that was set up by Pardon, who was nearly triple-teamed. But once he got that pass off to McLeod, it was pretty much kind of a two-on-two. But the foul is called. That'll be the second on Vaughn's 16th foul on Kent State. BG's committed four.
One thing you got to like about Pardon is he saw that trap coming. He didn't hold on to the ball and let it materialize. He got rid of it right away. That showed you some experience there.
Here's Esterkamp with the inbounds pass. BG down by two. 5:35 left in the half. Here's Brandon Pardon with it. Way up top, out by the timeline. Now to Esterkamp, right wing. Wharton's back in for Kent State. Now it goes to Metella. Now to Pardon. He spins it to Clayson. Now to Metella. Fakes a jumper. Now gets it to McLeod. He fakes a three. He penetrates. Runs up a banker. The won't go. Rebound is tipped. Taken by McLeod. Double pumps it up. No. Another slap won't go. And the rebound by Perry of Kent State.
Good solid hustle, though. Keep his hustle like crazy.
But here's Shaw with it. Now back out to Trevor Huffman. 24-22. Kent State by two. Here's the ball knocked away from behind. But Kent State still has it. Now they work it to the right wing. And here's a short jumper. It rattles out of there. Taken by Shaw. And the rebound by Clayson again for BG. Positioning himself beautifully. Here is Pardon. Down the left side of the lane. Out of control. But he gets it to Lenny. He banks it up for him on the low post left. Pardon a bit out of control. It was kind of sloppy. But he got it to Metella. And he has four in the game. We're tied again at 24.
I really like the spark that Clayson's given us on the defensive end. He's just playing outstanding right now.
Here's Shaw. At the corner it goes. That would be to Thomas. Now back up top to Huffman. Now it goes to Eric Thomas on the left wing. Now to Perry. Across the floor it goes to Shaw. BG, of course, in a man-to-man. Across the floor, now to Thomas. To the foul line, he takes it. His jumper bounces long. The rebound by Pardon. BG into the forecourt on the dribble. He's going to get it off to Esterkamp, who goes in for the one-handed Slamajama. That's an Al Smith Chrysler Plymouth Dodge drive to the ring. BG has their first lead. Kent State wants a timeout. BG leading 26-24.
I see Coach got Trent Jackson back in there and Stacy back in, so he's getting some fresh legs back in there.
Right. Stacy and Pardon, I think, played every minute of the game on Saturday. And here's Huffman. So BG with their first lead. And by the way, Esterkamp has six. He's two away from 1,000. Good play that time by Kemp. They got it underneath to Perry, who had position on Metella. He lays it in easily, and it's a 26-26 tie. Here is a foul coming up. Going to be on Huffman as BG tried to bring the ball into the forecourt. And that'll be the 17th foul, so BG shoots the 1-1. 26-26. We're tied here. 3:40 left in the half. As going to the foul line will be Trent Jackson. Jackson has 2 points in this game, averaging 9.3 per ball game. So, again, he could break the tie. BG has their starters back in this contest. Jackson's foul shot. Good that time. He's a 74% foul shooter. Three in the game for him. The BG lead is 127-26. All right. Second coming up for Trent. Bingo. He's got four, 28-26. For those just tuning in, Anthony Stacy has already scored 10 in this game, so he needs two more to tie Butch Comives, and obviously three more to break that all-time scoring record here at BG.
Doesn't mess for Camp, only need two to hit the 1,000 and get me to go over.
Yep, he has six in the game, eight's all he needed. Here's a long one for Huffman. It's an air ball, but the rebound falls into the arms of John Wirt, and he lays it in. Goodness, that turned out to be a pretty good pass, as it turned out. And we're tied at 28. Here's Parton into the forecourt. So another offensive rebound for Kent. That's at least eight. Got to be. Is it nine? There's a pass underneath to Stacy. Howdy Stacy back into the corner to Brandon Parton. Now back out top to Esther Camp. Howdy Camp on the dribble with it. Now gets it to Stacy left wing. Going to launch a long three. Bounces out. The rebound taken by Shaw. That would have done it. Into the forecourt comes Huffman. That is, that would have given him the record. We're tied at 28. 2:48 left. All right, here's Huffman. Way up top, guarded by Trent Jackson. Still on the dribble. The ball poked away by Jackson. Dives into the backcourt to try to get it. Now it's scooped up by Anthony Stacy, who falls to the floor, calls a timeout. Stacy hustling. He got to it after Jackson poked it away, and he and Huffman were battling for that thing. And we've got a timeout called. It'll be a 20-second timeout. And so we'll keep it here. 2:33 left. First half, 28-28. Here's a good pass underneath to Trent Jackson. Blew the layup. Nice feed that time by Parton. Jackson in the crowd. Couldn't get it to go. The rebound by Kent State. Here's a ball knocked out of bounds by Stacy. 2:12 left in the first half. It's BG 28, Kent State 28. By the way, at the half, we'll be talking with Al Stacy, Anthony's proud papa. Right, here's Huffman. Now to Mears on the left side. Up top it goes now to Shaw. Now to Huffman. Now to Mears. Can't get the three away because Parton came out on it. Now they take it to Shaw. Up top it comes now to Perry. The ball knocked away, but it's picked up by Huffman, who penetrate down the lane into the corner. Tamir's launches a three, didn't go, wouldn't have counted. A three-second call on Kent. 1:52 left in the half. All right, and so David Esterkamp puts it in play. Jackson has it, and they're going to back away, let him bring it into the forecourt against Mears. He'll now hand it off to Brandon Parton. 28-28 tie. And here's Parton. Got a drive down the left side of the lane. Now back toward the paint. Hands it off to Esther Camp. Camp off now to Jackson. On a baseline drive. Going to run it up and in. Trent Jackson on the baseline right. He got that one to go. Get him six. BG back out ahead now. 30-28. Stacy once he stands on his feet.
That's the way we're used to Trent playing. Is that cut and slice and just rise above everybody.
Huffman on a drive. Feeds it off to Perry. He buries another one. Great shooter is this Perry. He's got eight in the game. And we're tied again at 30. Here's Parton coming back the other way. Takes it all away. Tries to bounce it off underneath to Metella, but it bounces out of bounds. And it's Kent State basketball. So a rare turnover on Brandon Parton. 104 left in the first half. It has been a doozy. It's BG 30, Kent State 30. And the Golden Flashes have the ball here.
They throw their punch, we counter. And then we throw and they counter. This is a great fight right now.
Right into the forecourt, Huffman. Off to the right wing, he'll take it. That would be to Thomas. Now back to Huffman. Into the corner, Mears. Baseline drive. Off now to Perry. Up top it goes to Thomas. Runs one up, knocks it down. Good passing that time. Good ball movement. Thomas has four. That was on about a 10-footer. Kent State's back out ahead. 32-30 with 35 seconds left in the half. Here's Stacy on the right wing. Stacy up top. Now to Brandon Parton. Now it goes to Jackson. Going to launch a triple. Not a good shot. The rebound by Perry. Kent State. Now to Huffman into the forecourt. They can go for the final shot. So Kent should have the lead at the half. This Kent State basketball team is 120. I mean, this is a good basketball squad. Huffman guarded by Brandon Parton. Lost the handle, but gets it back. There's only seven on the shot clock. He's got a five-second call. Huffman was dribbling and just kind of messing around with that thing, dinking around with it. And right there was Brandon Parton, so BG gets it with 7.4 seconds to go.
I think Huffman thought he could just blow by him and get enough space, but Brandon's so fast that he couldn't break away from him.
Well, BG needs to put it in play very quickly. It comes into McLeod, into the forecourt he comes. He takes it now to Metella. Metella fall away jumper, going to be short. The rebound by Kett. The first half is history. And they will have a two-point advantage here at the break. All right. We played 20 minutes in a jam-packed Anderson Arena. The two top teams in the Eastern Division. Having had it tonight, it's Kent State 32, Bowling Green State University 30. You're listening to the Bowling Green State University Basketball Network. All right, welcome back to Anderson Arena on the campus of Bowling Green State University. We've gone halfway, and Kent State has a two-point advantage at 32-30. And we have been joined by a very special guest, Al Stacey. Anthony's papa. Al, good to see you. There's some ball game so far.
Glad to be here, Dave. Really good ball game. It's really one of those type of ball games you want to play coming down the stretch when you're in a conference battle to try to win something at the end of the year. And these are the type of games you got to win.
You know, most fans that come to a basketball game here at Anderson Arena probably view the game as fans. But Al, I get the impression when you're sitting there watching your son and just watching the team, you see it like a coach, don't you?
Well, I did coach for quite a few years at Mizzou, where Anthony came from, and I look at it, well, from two perspectives. One as a father, you know, sure, trying to see his son perform well, and the other as a former coach, it's looking at what the team's doing and where they're getting beat at and where they need to a little lift here and there, and just the little things that I look at that probably the average eye doesn't see.
When did you know that Anthony was a special kid? I mean, he's a special kid in any number of ways, but let's just talk about athletically.
You know, it's really hard to say because I've seen him perform since he was 5 or 6 years old, and he did some special things back then when he was only about six, and we had a peewee program of our kids participated in something similar here for the young Falcons. They come out. Yeah. And Anthony was competing against kids a couple years older than him at that time. And the other time, I think, was in the eighth grade when he was going to go to the high school, and I was trying to help him prepare himself for high school basketball. And the varsity coach at that time, which was Ray Verber, came over, and he said that his last game that he wanted Anthony to come over and work out with the JV. And I told Ray then, I said, Ray, he'll be fine. I said, just, you know, don't treat him anything special. Just turn him loose and let him go.
Yeah.
And I watched the very first practice he had there at the high school as a freshman. And he practiced as an eighth grader. He practiced with a JV after his eighth grade season. And I knew then that he had some talent and had something special. But only if he worked a little bit more at it and work year in and year out to try to get better. Some kids have that. I've seen a lot of kids with that ability, but I don't know how many kids are really willing to put in the time and the effort and the dedication to go ahead and get it done.
By the way, for those that maybe don't know, Anthony needed 13 tonight to break the all-time mark held by the great Butch Comives. He set it back in the 63-64 basketball campaign. Here at the half, with BG trailing by two, Anthony does have 10 points, so it looks pretty good that he'll do it in the second half of this basketball affair. Tell us about the recruiting process and what schools were looking at Anthony and why did he come to BG?
Well, there was a lot of schools really looking at him, from some of the bigger schools in the country to some of the smaller D1 schools around. And what we wanted to accomplish as a family, and we do everything basically as a family. But one thing my wife and I, we sit down and told him that don't make his choice on what mom and dad want you to do. Make your choice on what you want to do, where you think you're going to fit in, where you think you're going to be happy, because you're going to be there for 4 years. Unfortunately, it's been five, yeah. But this is what we told him to do, because we said wherever you play, we'll find a way to get there. We both work, and we're very supportive. And the process came down to basically the school itself and the coaching staff, and that's basically what an athlete should look at. Look at the school. Bowling Green has a great reputation across the state of Ohio and across the country as a university. They really do. And we looked at that, the things that he wanted to do in the classroom, we thought he could do here, and at the basketball level, the coaching staff at that time, Coach Murfield, Coach Heath, which is gone, and then, you know, Coach Jim Larinaga, and played a tremendous part in that because he felt so comfortable with the coaching staff coming in that, you know, it was like home. And once he got here, as most people know, that Andy isn't a stranger very long, not very long. He makes himself kind of conservative.
Just a couple more quick questions before we'll let you go, Al Stacey. How tall is he?
Anthony tapers out right around. Right now, I think he tapers out close to 6'4".
Okay, good.
He's a legit 6'4". Weight-wise, I don't know what it is now. I know he's a lot stronger. The things that I've seen him do over the years is he's developed his overall game to the point where now he really understands the game. I mean, he understood the game a little bit better as most freshmen when they first came in.
Yeah.
I mean, he really was kind of, I'd say, ahead of the kids mentally in how to play the game. But after a couple of years of understanding what it took to play at this level, and there were some times there, you know, he got beat, banged, double-teamed and all that, and he had to learn how to handle that because, as you know, he's going to have, that's going to happen to him. I don't care where you go and what you do. And he's learned how to adjust. He's learned how to do things. And I've always taught him, I said, you know, if you're as good as people think you are, and if you're as good as you think you are, I said, the only thing that you can prove that we're, to me, that you're a good players make other players better.
Yeah.
If you can make people around you better, that's what makes a great player. It really does.
When Ohio University was in, we talked to Dave Esterkamp Sr. at the half. And, of course, Stephen is at Ohio University. They have two daughters. They'll probably play college basketball. How about you and Faye? What happens to you two when Anthony's done?
Well, we're going to keep our season tickets.
Oh, great.
Because, you know, we know the kids on the team. I mean, Lenny Mattella, Keith McLeod, Cowboy. And we've gotten to know Brandon Pardon a little bit. And some of the other newer kids I don't know that well. But, you know, those guys are coming here, and they're Anthony's friends, and we're going to be supportive because BG's a part of our family. Too, not just, you know, just Anthony's, but Anthony's a part of BG. Anthony's a part of us, and so BG's a part of us. And so, no, we'll be very supportive. We've already said it. You know, we're going to maintain our season tickets and come back and hopefully, you know, root them on to another championship. It's not.
Stacey, you have an invitation to come up anytime and say hi to us.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
Al Stacey, Anthony's dad. Again, halftime score 32-30. Kent State leading BG, Stace, in with 10 points, so he's only three away from breaking the all-time mark. Let's take a break.
Here we go, second half.
All right, Kent State basketball, they lead by two. Into the forecourt with it is Mitchell, guarded by Brandon Pardon. Mitchell down the right side of the lane, now picks up the dribble, scoops it off now to Dimitri Shaw. Stacey comes out on him. Now Pardon picks him up. Now it goes to the left wing to Eric Thomas on the baseline drive, but he's checked on the play by Esterkamp. Now to Perry. Good pass underneath to Wharton. Lays it up and in. Well, they move well without the ball. Got a good shot to get things going. In the second half, Kent by four. Here's McLeod down the lane. Bobbles it. Picks it up. Shoots it. Misses it. And nobody but Kent State guys there to rebound. McLeod lost the handle on it like the ball had too much air in it. And got the shot off anyhow, but it wouldn't go, and Kent again hit those boards. Here's Thomas, left wing. Boy, the first three, 4 minutes of the second half could be key. Here's Mitchell, right side, up top now to Perry. Now it goes to the left wing to Shaw. Shaw underneath to Perry, who kicks it out of bounds. Perry was actually grabbed by Stacey. Nobody saw it, so Perry was a bit off balance when the ball came to him. He dropped it, hit his foot, rolled out of bounds. He's complaining about it, but you've seen Stace get away with those kind of things for about 5 years now. Into the forecourt, Esterkamp against the pressure. Now the left side of the lane. Up top, now to Brandon Pardon. Now to Stacey, right wing. Going to drive to the baseline. Offensive foul on Stacey. That time Perry hit the deck. And the official said that Anthony threw his elbow to knock him out of there.
Almost makes you think that ref saw it and just didn't get a call the last time. So thought he'd get it back on this one.
Yeah, it could be. So Kent with the ball. They lead it 34-30. 18:47 left in this game. Now here's Mitchell into the forecourt. Now to Thomas up top. Now back to Mitchell on the left wing. Good point guard. Mitchell picks up the dribble. Now gets it out to Shaw. Guarded by McLeod. Now back to Mitchell. Has it on the left side. He spins it now to Wharton. Double teamed and lost the handle. Picks it up. Now it hit the baseline. Again, Stacey came over for backside help. Kind of took a swat at that thing. And That's the reason Wharton lost the handle.
I tell you, I'd like to see Lenny get his knee in that guy's rear and get him out of there. He's getting that ball from 3 feet of the hole every time.
Here's Esterkamp into the forecourt. That's the top of the key now to Stacy right wing. Not Esterkamp. And the camp spins it to Stacy. Going to go to work. And going to drive into the lane. Fall away jumper. Stacy got it. Anthony Stacy has 12. He's tied with Cole Ives. 1,834 career points. BG down by two. 34-32. Here's Mitchell deep in the left corner. Just under 18 minutes left. Now it comes to Thomas right side. Thomas tries to get it to Wharton and does. This time he's about 7 feet from the hoop. His pass hits the side of the board. Comes down to Metella. Now to Brandon Parton for BG. Into the forecourt he comes. Now to Stacy left side. ID Stacy might want to isolate. Now he gets it up top to Brandon Parton. Parton tries to penetrate and can't off to Esterkamp. He drives down the lane. Nice double pumping shot. Won't go, but it comes right back down to him. And he gingerly lays it up and in. Esterkamp now with 1,000 points in his career. And we're tied at 34. He becomes the 30th player in BGSU history to score 1,000. All right. Here is Perry, baseline left. Perry gets it up top now. That would be to Shaw. Underneath Wharton. Turn, shoots, and scores. Got it underneath on Lenny again. John Wharton with 10. And Kent leads it again by 2 at 36-34. Here's Esterkamp into the forecourt. Camp to the baseline right. Takes it all the way. Now to Stacy. Wide open. Home run ball. Left wing. No. The rebound, though, by Metella. He's been fouled by Wharton. Now, Stacy had a wide open look deep in that left corner. The fans were beginning to rise to their feet. But thank goodness Lenny was there to get the rebound and draw the foul.
Yeah, Lenny was crashing the board real hard that time. That's what we like to see from him.
Kent State leading 36-34. Inbounds pass comes to Esterkamp. Now to Camp, now to Parton. Going to jump it up from down low. Going to bounce out. The rebound by Wharton, Kent State. And the forecourt will come Mitchell. So Kent State has the ball. They lead by two. Wharton has it up top. Now to the right wing to Shaw. Shaw takes it off to the left side. Now to Mitchell. Now to Mitchell, guarded by Brandon Park. Up top, now to Perry. Now it goes to the right side of Thomas, now to Perry. Now for a long three, and you can count that one for Andrew Mitchell. He hit a home run ball, give him eight. Kent State has what would match their biggest lead of the game at 5, 39-34. Here's Esterkamp into the forecourt. Twists and turns. Going to take it down the left side of the lane. Shot blocked by Wharton, but a foul is called. Let's see if it's on the big guy. He committed his first just a moment ago. And it will be on Wharton. And so that'll be his second, the team's second. And to the line to shoot two will go David Esterkamp. They have just announced that David Esterkamp on his last basket became the 30th Falcon to score 1,000 points. Anthony Stacy comes out, shook his hand. Did he kiss him too? I couldn't tell.
On the cheek.
That's what I thought. All right, so to the foul line goes David Esterkamp. Many of the students have been standing the whole way, so it's not like they're giving him a standing ovation, per se. Foul shot by Camp is good. He's got 9 in the game and 1,001 points. So I believe he passes Steve Martinet with that. With that one, we'll double-check the 1,000-point scores in BGSU history. BG's down by 4. You know, we don't want to lose our perspective here. BG needs to win this game. Second shot by Camp. Dance is in for him. He's got 10. And it's 39-36. The Kent State lead is cut to 3.
Now, feeling Coach D's not going to let him lose perspective on things.
All right. Here's Mears. Has it in the corner. Gets it back underneath. Turnaround jumper will not go. It was taken that time by Warren, who's out of the game. The rebound by Stacy BG. Falcons down by 3. Here's Parton into the forecourt. Picks up the dribble. Now gets it off to McLeod right wing. He will try to get a shot off and can't. Spins it now to Esterkamp. He drives into the lane, runs up the shot, counts the basket, and a foul is called. Good aggressive play by the senior, David Esterkamp, giving 12 in this game, and to make it a one-point Kent State lead, and Camp could tie it if he converts the three-point play.
Now, the key word there in what you were saying was a senior. He's really coming to the table now and showing them what he's made of, and this is what we need, a leadership from him. Beautiful move. Going in there, pump faking, and taking his body into him.
The foul was on Warren, Rashawn Warren. His first camp hits a foul shot. He's got 13. We're tied. And we've got a Taco Bell timeout. 15:35 left. Here at Anderson, the score. Wait a minute. It is going to be a full. The score, 39-39. BG and Kent State, you're listening to the Bowling Green State University Basketball Network. All right, Kent State basketball, we're tied. BG's gone on a 5-0 run here after Kent went on a 5-0 run. All right, here's Huffman with the ball deep in the right corner. Baseline drive into the corner, now to Perry. Up top, now to Mears. His three, got it. Good shooter. Nate Mears has two of those now. Give him six in the game, and it's a 42-39 three-point Kent State lead. Here's Pardon on the right wing. Pardon dribbling the perimeter, now to McLeod up top. Again, Anthony Stacy has tied Howard Comyves, his next basket or hoop. Here's a follow-away jumper. Stacy, he got it. There it is. Anthony Stacy with 14 minutes and 56 seconds left in this ball game at Anderson Arena on a fadeaway eight-footer, 45-degree angle to the right, has become the all-time leading scorer in BGSU basketball history. They'll stop the game. And Stacy's going into the crowd. He's kissing somebody. He's kissing more people down there. It's a 42-41 ball game. And, of course, the fans on their feet applauding Anthony Stacy. Dan Dockich comes over, shakes his hand. Now he wants the team to huddle because he, like Stacy and all these other guys, want to win this basketball game. So Anthony Stacy, now the all-time leading scorer in BGSU basketball history, as Stace would have 1,836 points. All right, BG trails by one. 14 of the game, by the way, for Stace. Now, maybe that came just at the right time to really get this crowd into it. Let's see how Kent reacts. Here's Huffman. His pass barely finds its way to the left wing over to Warren. Back up to Huffman. 42-41 Kent, as we have 14:35 to go. Here's Warren on the baseline, shovels it off now to Perry, his jumper. No, it's long, and the rebound by Stacy DG. Now to Pardon, gets it off to Esterkamp on a breakaway, and a two-handed slam again. BG leads it by one, 43-42.
Showtime.
That's another Al Smith Chrysler Plymouth Dodge drive to the ring. Here's Mears with the ball right corner. Everybody on their feet at Anderson. Here's Mitchell penetrating, stopping, shooting, scoring, disallowed the basket, pushing foul called on Pardon prior to the shot. So Andrew Mitchell thought he had put Kent State back ahead, but a foul is called on Pardon. It'll be only the Falcons' third, or maybe the second team foul here in the half. Second foul on Pardon, so Kent State will put it in play. 14:06 left. PG leading 43-42.
Well, you got to like Brandon Pardon. He gets that ball to you right in stride. He saw Camp taking off, and he hit him without even making him move one instant.
And Kent State to put it in play. All right, so Stacy is the all-time leading scorer. Dave Esterkamp has 1,000 points. Now let's win this thing. We've got a timeout called by Kent State. They couldn't put the ball in play. It'll be a 30-second timeout. And so we'll keep it right here. 14:06 left. BG 43, Kent 42. Now it goes up top to Mitchell, right side, now to Huffman. BG by one. Here's Huffman trying to penetrate. Probably walked. They didn't call it. His hook pass is intercepted by Pardon. Pardon into the forecourt. He'll take it all the way. Just scoop it up for him. Stacy was breaking on the baseline right. The Pardon saw the drive to the ring and took it. 4 points in the game for him. BG by three. Huffman nearly throws it away again, but it's saved by Thomas way up top. Now it goes to the left side to Shaw. BG by three. Biggest lead of the game for the good guys in this contest. Here's a drive to the baseline. Fall away jumper. Mitchell won't go. Rebound tip taken by McLeod. BG. And a poke it away from Thomas. Into the forecourt he comes on the dribble. Has it on the left wing. He's going to take it to the baseline. He's going to run up the shot. It's an air ball, but a charging foul is called as Wharton came over and drew the charge. Dan Dockich did not like the call, nor did most of the Falcon fans. All right, 13:07 left. BG by three, 45-42. You can tell it's just going to be a dogfight all the way. And Kent to put it in play with the length of the floor to go.
Boy, you wouldn't expect anything else then. One against two.
All right. That'll be four court. That's Mitchell with it. Guarded by Pardon. Mitchell down the right side of the lane. He's left-handed. Tends to want to go to his left side. Now it goes to Huffman. Now to Mears. Long three for Mears. Perfect. Then blasted guy comes off those picks. He's hit three of those, and we're deadlocked again at 45. All right. Here's Pardon into the forecourt. Now to Stacy. Has it right wing. He's in trouble over there. Now Bolsey's way to the hoop and kisses him off the glass. They double-teamed him. One guy left the area. Stacy took advantage. He's got 16, and it's 47-45 BG. You got to stick with him, guys. Here's Mitchell, baseline drive. The ball lost underneath, taken by Esther Camp. Stacy came over, knocked it away. Here's Camp into the forecourt with it. Has it up top. Got to hand it off to Brandon Pardon. BG by two. Right, Pardon. Now to Esther Camp, right wing. Spins it to Stacy. He's going to go to work again. Fall away jumper off the glass. Two more for BG's all-time leading scorer. 18 in the game, 49-45. Camp wants a T.O. It's a 30-second timeout, so again, we'll keep it here. 11:59 left in the game. Anthony Stacy and Dave Esterkamp have led the surge. The Falcons lead at 49-45.
Well, I'll tell you what, Stacy's in the zone. We just have to keep going to him. He wants, and you know, that's where he wants the ball. When he gets it, he knows what he's going to do with it.
All right. Again, BG will be hosting Eastern Michigan Saturday at 3:30. 3:10, our pregame show. That is the final home game, we hope. And we say that because BG would love to get the bye to get into that MAC tournament without having to host a game in the first round. And, of course, they must either win the East or then have the next best record in the East. If they win tonight, they'll be even with Kent in the loss column. Kent will have won one more game because they would have played one more MAC game. Here's Mitchell into the forecourt, guarded by Brandon Park. Right, gets it off to Mears. Now up top it comes to Huffman. Right wing now to Mitchell. Underneath to Wharton again. Turn, shoots, scores. Disallowed the basket. A charging foul on Wharton. Good defensive effort by David Esterkamp. The Kent State people very, very displeased. And another timeout is called. It's a media timeout. And we'll take the same. 11:43 left. Key play there. That's the third. That should be the third on John Wharton. And Charlie Waters, your head coach, is all the way out on the court. Of course, the team goes out there for the timeout. 11:43 left, 49-45. BG, you're listening to the Bowling Green State University Basketball Network. Now here's Pardon up top of the ball. All right. He gets it off to Lenny Metella right wing. Hands it off to David Esterkamp. Mears guards him. Tries to penetrate on the baseline, is checked on the baseline. Now picks up the dribble, now to Pardon, up top with it. 14 on the shot clock. He gets it off to Metella, fakes the jumper, going to drive, going to run it up and in. Lenny Metella got Wharton to go up into the air just a bit. Wharton with three fouls, had to let Lenny go. And he's got six. It's 51-45, BG by six. That's BG's biggest lead. Here's Mears. Now the fans really getting into it. Here's Perry, right wing, now to Mitchell. Mitchell guarded by Pardon. Underneath it goes to Wharton. On a baseline reverse, and he gets it to go. John Wharton's got 12. So they went to their bread and butter man. It's 51-47, BG. All right, here's Pardon into the forecourt, 10:45 to go. Now it goes to Esterkamp, right wing. Now to Camp, going to drive the baseline. Is in trouble. Gets it up top to Pardon. Launches a three. Yes, sir. Brandon Pardon took his time. He nailed the home run ball from straight away. And it's 53-47.
That's what he has to do. When that pass is down the corner, ball to the corner, he needs to step up, make sure he's a weapon for us. And he just did it.
All right. Here's Mears with it. Gets it off now to Mitchell. Now it goes to Huffman right side. 53-47 BG. Mears takes a three. Penetrates. Was fouled on the play, grabbed on the play by David Esterkamp. 10-12 left in this ball game. BG leading Kent, 53-47.
So many times when you see a guard pass a ball off, he'll stand out there and just become more of a spectator, and that's where Brandon does a good job. He steps up and gets ready to shoot the ball when it comes back to him.
All right, here is Mitchell with it for Kent. That was the first foul on Kent. Teams are even with 14 fouls. Here's Huffman left side. Esterkamp guards him, tries to penetrate, and gets it off to Mitchell. He penetrates, now to Huffman. Long three, Huffman went in. Boy, that thing rattled and almost died on the ring, and then it fell in for him. So he's a good shooter, got the shooter's roll, 53-50. Here's a push foul coming up on Huffman as McLeod tried to drive the baseline left. All right, so Huffman in this game, can't find him on the score sheet. It's only five for him. He's your top scorer at 14
per ball game.
Good player, though. You know, this Kansas State team, this is as good a team as they've ever had. Here's Camp, going to run up a jumper, going to be short, going to fall away, baseline left, rebound by Mitchell Kent. They could tie it with a home run ball. Mitchell going to take it all away, scoops it up underneath to Wharton, stolen by Esterkamp. He stripped it, stayed in bounds, and got it to Stacey. It'll be four court, he comes. Big play by Stace, or rather by Esterkamp, and here's a three by McLeod, 45-degree angle to the right. McLeod had not scored in the game. Now it's a 56-50, six-point lead that matches the biggest lead. Here's a drive by Huffman. He runs it up. It doesn't go. But a blocking foul is called on McLeod. 9:18 left in the game, 56-50 BG. Here comes Rashawn Warren back in. Wharton, their outstanding big man, goes to the bench. He'll give him a breather. He's playing with three fouls. All right. And so Kent puts it in play. I'm Dave Foraker along with Bill Fain tonight. We would have loved to have seen you here, but if you came a little bit late, you would not have been able to get in. It's a sellout here. Here's Huffman right wing. 56-50, BG. 9:10 left in this contest. BG could use a stop right here. Now it goes to Mitchell, left wing. Okay, Mitchell going to try to penetrate. Loops it across the floor. Now to Shaw. Baseline drive for Shaw. The ball stripped away by McLeod. Taken by Metella. Now it goes to Pardon. It'll be four court. He comes. Wisely slows it up. He didn't have the numbers, and so he gets it to McLeod. Now back to Pardon. Now to Stacey, left wing. Stacey drives the baseline left. Ball away jumper. Rattles out of there. The rebound by Metella. Now to McLeod. His triple. Yes, sir. Perfect. McLeod, 4, 5, and 6. BG by 9. Gary Waters wants a timeout. All right, 59-50. BG with 8:34 to go. And it's Kent State basketball, and by no means can you count Kent State out of this basketball contest. They're just too dead blasted good. Here is Mitchell. Gets it up top now to Huffman. Huffman to the right wing to Shaw. Shaw now to Perry, top of the key. Stacey comes out on him. Now they work it to the corner. That's Huffman with it. Now to Perry. Fall away jumper down low. No. The rebound fought for is going to be taken by Esterkamp. The BG fought it away from Warren of Kent. And here's the pass by Pardon that McLeod didn't see coming. A rare, poor pass by Brandon. Usually when he throws it goes out of bounds, it's Kent State basketball. Usually there's a purpose with every pass. They didn't have much of a purpose, so it'll be Kent State ball, but Brandon will not hold you to that one necessarily. You've thrown too many good ones.
That's right. But I'll tell you what I like about it right now is every time that ball hits the ground, we've got four white jerseys going for the ball every time.
All right, 59-50. Kent State with it. 8 minutes to go. BG leading by 9. Here's Shaw with it. Shaw gets it up to Huffman way up top. He bounces it off now to Mitchell. Left-handed point guard goes to work, picks up the dribble, now to Perry. Spins it underneath, the ball knocked away by Esterkamp, but it comes out to Perry for Kent. Kent on the shot clock. Huffman penetrates. Twist turns, lost the handle, and it's going to be picked up by Metella. BG. Now to Esterkamp. Kent gets it up the floor to Metella. Off now to McLeod. Has it on the left wing. Had the three, decides not to take it. Now to Pardon between the circles. BG could use another hoop here. Here's a hand check foul coming up 30 feet from the hoop on Andrew Mitchell. He tried to knock it away from Brandon Pardon. The official right there made the call. And we've got a Taco Bell timeout, so we'll take one too. 7:27 left here at Anderson Arena. Before a capacity standing room only crowd, it's BG 59, Kent State 50. You're listening to the Bowling Green State University Basketball Network. Boy, it's just a perfect night for Sports Illustrated to come here. Better let that guy know that it's this way every game. Maybe it will be this way every game. Well, they're going to come away thinking this is just a great venue for basketball and this is a great conference. I guess they'd be right.
I agree with you on that. I'm glad they're coming to this game because it is rocking right now.
All right. 59-50, BG leading. 7 minutes and 23 seconds left. Here's Brandon Pardon with it. Up top now to McLeod. McLeod's hit a couple of three-pointers here in the second half just lately for his 6 points. Here's Metella up top. Now gets it back to Brandon Pardon. Pardon thought about the shot. Is poked in the eye. Now gets it off to Stacey. Stacey double team. Now back to Pardon. Pardon back to Stacey. And Stacy is going to go to work, going to turn. He's going to shoot, and he's going to score. Now, Perry fell to the floor. The official didn't buy that. As Stacy turned, he wanted to get the offensive charge. When Perry fell, Stacy was wide open. He knocked in a 10-footer. He's got 20, and at 61-50, BG by 11. There's the biggest lead. All right. The ball is Thomas right side. Now they take it to Mitchell on the left side. Adi Mitchell up top now to Shaw. 6.5 to go. BG by 11. Here's Shaw. Going to drive. Going to stop. Going to shoot. Going to miss. And the rebound by McLeod. BG. BG in the last 4 or 5 minutes, they have totally dominated this game. Here's Brandon Park.
I'll tell you right now, we are really closing in on that gap on rebounding. We just rebound. Everything comes off the rim.
Here's Esterkamp. Now to Stacy. Working on Wharton. He drives, takes it to the hoop, runs it up and in over the big guy. Wharton again playing the three. Had to kind of let Stacy go. 22, the BG's all-time leading scorer. The BG lead 13 at 63-50. Mitchell on a drive, double pumps it up. It doesn't go. The rebound by Stacy as he darted to the board to catch it at his waist. It'll be, well, he didn't bring it into the forecourt. He stops, gets it to Brandon Park. 63-50, BG, 5 minutes and 42 seconds left. Here's Esterkamp. Camp with it on the left wing. To the baseline left. Double team. Nearly throws it away, but Stacy fights and gets it. Knocking Mitchell to the floor in the process. Again, no call. Now it goes to Brandon Pardon. Pardon penetrates. Now to Metella. Up top now to Brandon, or rather to McLeod. Twist turns. He pushes off. Passes it underneath. Going to be stolen. Going to be stolen by Kent State. McLeod went up for the jumper, had to push off on it, and then tried to pass it and couldn't get it where he wanted it to go. Here's Wharton, baseline right. Good move in a baseline. Turn, shoots, and misses. Might have been partially blocked. They're fighting for the rebound. Stacy gets it. He's on his derriere with that ball. He calls a timeout with 5:07 left. Things looking pretty good here now for the home team. It is going to be a 30-second timeout, so we'll keep it here. 5:07 left of this game, 63-50. Bowling Green State University leading Kent State. The inbounds pass by Pardon's not a good one. It hits the shin of David Esterkamp and ricochets out of bounds. Kent State ball. 13-point ball game. By no means is this thing over with 5:05 to go. Here's Wharton with it. Now to Huffman up top. Huffman now to the left wing to Thomas. Thomas now to Mears. Now to Huffman. To the right wing to Thomas. For Kent State. Now to Mears. A long, long, long three. Yes, indeed. That's an NBA three for him. He's got 12, and it's 63-53. 10-point ball game. Esterkamp with the ball in the backcourt. Double teamed. Gets it now to Stacy. Into the forecourt he comes. Going to be a three on two. Going to stop. Now to Pardon. Fakes a three. He'll set it up. Now to Camp, who fakes a three. Now to Keith McLeod. 4.5 to go. BG by 10. And here is Brandon Pardon. Now to Esterkamp right side. Still has it. Puts it on the floor. Now gets it to Stacy. On the right wing. Stacy going to fake the three. Going to take the three. Going to miss the three. Long rebound comes out to Eric Thomas of Kent State. Up the floor, now to Mears. Another three deep in the right corner. Bingo, Nate Mears. 13, 14, 15. On five home run balls, it's a 63-56 game. Inbounds pass finds its way to Keith McLeod. It's inside of 4 minutes to go. McLeod, left side of the lane, bobbles the ball. He kicks it. Going to be picked out of there by Kent. Now they're fighting for it. Still fighting for the ball. McLeod and Perry are down there. About five or six fellas on the floor. It's a held ball situation. And it's BG's turn.
Our offense right now, we're standing around. That last time, we didn't get a good look at it. We played a two-man game from about 23, 24 feet out. And you just can't have that. We got to keep working our offense and just keep pushing it away and start nailing these guys into the coffin and put them out of here.
Timeout called here. 3:45 left in the game. BG 63, Kent 56. You're listening to the Bowling Green State University Basketball Network. 3 minutes and 45 seconds left, so it looked like Kent might have been dead in the water. Nate Mears hits two long bombing threes, and so now it's a 7-point ball game, 63-56.
Well, like you said, Dave, you hit the nail on the head when you said this team's just too good of a team to think they're out of it. And their coach isn't going to let them get out of it. They're going to come at you down to the final second.
No matter what happens, the rest of this season, Kent should be an NCAA ball club. Of course, they could win the whole thing and win the tournament. Here is Esterkamp. Now gets it to Stacy, left side, up top to Brandon Pardon. BG needs a good look here. Now it goes to Stacy, left side, guarded by Perry. Up top to Brandon Pardon. Eddie Pardon off now to Esterkamp. Thomas guards him. Five on the shot clock. Esterkamp in trouble. Now to Metella. Metella launches a long follow-away three. It's an air ball. That's a 35-second shot clock violation.
Well, you know, that's not a good look. You don't want your 6'10" guy out there shooting a 23-footer.
Well, he didn't want to shoot it. He was trying to find somebody to pass to, but he ran out of time. So Kent puts it in play, 63-56. 3 minutes and 15 seconds left. Here's Huffman. Up top now to Mears. Stacy comes out on him. Now to Huffman. Mears just wants to get free for a home runner. That's what he wants to do. Huffman's going to take one. He's going to miss it. And the rebound, though, taken by Kent. Thomas on a great athletic play. Went up over Esterkamp, who really had position. Now it goes to Huffman. Inside of 3 minutes. Mears off the pick. But McLeod's on him this time. Now back to Huffman right wing. Buddy Huffman guarded by Pardon. Baseline drive. Huffman runs it up. Dances in for him. Nicely done by Huffman. And so he has only seven in this game. It's 63-58. And we've got a blocking foul coming up in the backcourt. They double-team Brandon Pardon. Literally rode him out of bounds. He'll be shooting the one-on-one with Brandon Pardon. All right, so it was a 63-50 ball game. So they've scored eight in a row. Brandon needs to go to the line and put an end to that. 2:39 left in the game, Bill.
Like we were saying down here at Disney, and Esterkamp had a good box out. It was just that Huffman's shot came off a little bit harder than it usually does, and he couldn't box him out clear to out of bounds, so he went up and made the rebound there.
Foul shot by Pardon, perfect. Got a way to go, Brandon. 8 points in a game for him, 64-58. Pardon averaging 5.7 points a game, looking for his ninth in this contest. Left-hander still with that brace on the shoulder, hit them both, and it's 65-58 BG. Just over 2.5 to go. Here's Huffman, guarded by Brandon Park. Has it on the right wing. Now gets it to Mears, way outside. He'll penetrate. Nearly loses it. Gets it back to Huffman. He'll launch a long three. No, and the rebound by McLeod, BG. So Kent State, I guess we are approaching that two-minute mark. They've been looking for long bombers. They hit a couple, but they missed the last two. Here's Pardon. Between the circles, right wing, now to Esterkamp. Thomas comes out to guard him. Camp nearly walks, now hands it off to Brandon Pardon. Tries to penetrate, now dribbles out of there, has it on the left wing, on the dribble. Has it still on the left wing, still on the dribble. Gets it off to Stacy, fakes the three. Penetrates, double pumps a shot up. Yes, tap the basket, and a foul is called. That's a patented Anthony Stacy. Double pumper. He goes up into the air, really initiates the contact, but gets that call. Then he kissed it off the glass because he's so doggone strong. And it's 67-58, PG. Stacy with those 2 points, now with 24.
I tell you what's nice about that shot is he does that pump fake and leans into him, and when they hit him, they kind of straighten him back up to take that shot. That's a great play.
All right, so Stacy will try to convert to three-point play. Well, you know, he's been doing that since, according to Al Stacy, he was five. I mean, so the shot short. A rebound picked out of there by Thomas of Kent State. 67-58. 1 minute and 47 seconds left. When it's over, we'll name a modern Woodman of America old school player of the game. We'll name a Pepsi player of the game. And, of course, we'll talk with head coach Dan Tokich. So you're going to want to listen to that. Here is Mears. Up top now he goes to Thomas. His long three. Perfect. My goodness. Thomas has seven. And it's 67-61. It's a two-possession game with 1:25 to go. Here's McLeod. It'll be forecourt for BG. But chances are BG will have to hit their foul shots down the stretch. Here's Pardon, took the back door, catches the ball at the timeline, but dribbles back up out of there. Didn't want to force the action at that point. Now it goes to Esterkamp. The ball is batted away, going to be stolen. Mears one-on-one, going to stop, going to launch a three, and it's an air ball. Mears stopped, let the three go. It's an air ball. The fans are going to get all over this poor guy with 62 seconds left. PG leads it by six. Inbounds pass comes to McLeod. He's deep in the corner. They'll try to double-team him. Gets it off to Brandon Pardon now. Brandon out of McLeod. Into the forecourt, he hooks it to Stacy. 52 seconds left. BG by six. Out of Brandon Pardon. Now that the fans on their feet here. We've got a whistle. We've got a holding foul coming up. I think it's on Perry. I believe Pardon goes to the line. And he'll be shooting the one-on-one, Bill Fane.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. I'm glad for us that Mears did that decision there because he had a wide-open layup, and he backed off to try that three. And, you know, a two would have helped him out just as much. So I'm kind of glad he did it. I don't think his coach is too happy.
Well, he's been hot. He's probably their best three-point shooter. All right, Pardon at the charity stripe. The first of hopefully two. Absolutely perfect. Double digits for Brandon now. He's got 10, 68-61. 46.8 seconds left. Second shot coming up here for Brandon Pardon. Yes, sir.
I'll tell you what, he hits cotton on that every time. He's not even touching the rim.
69-61 PG. 42 seconds to go. Here's Huffman. Dribble is on the left wing. Going to launch a triple. Going to be short. The rebound down to the Mitchell. PG. Pardon comes and takes the ball from Lenny. He wanted it. Fans on his feet. That should do it.
Now put this one away.
Here's Anthony Stacy. Stacy up by the timeline. He'll dribble for a while. About a 3 second difference on the game clock and shot clock. Hands it off to Brandon Pardon. Pardon out of Stacy. Perry guards him. Stacy up top with it. Spins, gets it off to Pardon. He penetrates off Destercamp. Scoops it up, missed the shot. Picked up it in by Mitella. Lenny Mitella with 8 in the game on a nice tip. 10-point game with 4 seconds left. Mears will fire a long three. It'll be short. This ball game is over. Bowling Green State University, as the students storm the court, they're mobbing Anthony Stacy. The final score, Bowling Green State University 71 and Kent State 61. You're listening to the Bowling Green State University Basketball Network. Right back at Anderson Arena, BG beats Kent 71-61. While we were away, we had David Estercamp and Anthony Stacy hugging one another. We had Dan Dockich mobbed by the students out at center court. And now we have Dockich telling the fans, please stay, because I think we're going to have a presentation, obviously, to Anthony Stacy, probably to Dave Estercamp as well, who went over the 1,000-point mark. All right, Dan Dockich still on the court. Dave Estercamp is there, along with all the Stacys, Al, Faye, and Anthony. All sorts of TV cameras out there. Now Stacy being hugged by Dan Dockich. 71-61. BG has won this game. There are about 2,000 students on the court right now. They formed a circle around the circle at midcourt. Dr. Sidney Rabot is there. On the court, the president of Bowling Green State University, athletic director Paul Krebs, also there. And, of course, they're making the announcements, and I can only assume that other person down there with his back to us, that's got to be Butch Comives, who held the record until tonight. Butch has been introduced, and the fans give him a great hand.
Hope you enjoyed that trip down memory lane on this edition of the Ziggy Cast. As we all look forward to better times ahead, we certainly hope that things can return to normal sooner rather than later. We'll be back again soon with another flashback to BGSU Athletic Glory on the Ziggy Cast. Until then, give us a follow on iHeartRadio or Apple Podcasts or Spotify, and spread the word to your Falcon friends. Give us a 5-star rating as well if you can. That helps to spread the news and get us more and more listeners and followers here on the Ziggy Cast. Until next time, this is Todd Walker saying, hi, Ziggy Zumba.
Thanks for listening to the BGSU Ziggy Cast. Don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review however you listen. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation.